but I think we all ought to stand together and change our positions. And let's sing, "The Lion of Judah shall break every chain."
Meaning time.
has to do with the duration of time. But the particular word that is used in both of these scriptures about redeeming the time actually is a word that means redeeming the appointed or set time. It has to do with the characteristics or the features of a particular time, not just a long time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, what does it mean to go into the marketplace? The agora is the Greek word for it. What does it mean to go into the marketplace, the agora, and to redeem the time out of the marketplace? First of all, we have to understand what the marketplace is in the light of the scripture. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Matthew 11:16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have faced unto you, and ye have not been. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man glutteth and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified from the children. Now Jesus said, this generation is like unto children where? In the marketplace. And it's in the marketplace that we are to buy up or redeem the appointed time. What appointed time? Of course, for us, the appointed time is that the call rights out that a child differeth nothing from a servant as long as he is a child. The heir differeth nothing from a servant as long as he is a child. But he's under governors and tutors until the time appointed of the Father, which is the type of the manifestation of the sons of God. We have heard this preached, and we love the sonship message. And we cry out for the time when the sons of God is to be made manifest. And creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our bodies. And we wonder when it's going to happen, and men have figured it out, it has to happen at such and such a time. But the real time, the set time, the meaning of it, the understanding of it, is lost in the rubble of the marketplace. We have too many immature ones, children, if you please, that are in the marketplace crying one thing and crying another. They say, we have piped unto you, we've told you. Now, when you pipe or play an instrument, you're into timing. We told you exactly when this pipe is going to end and that one's going to begin. And you didn't come along and dance to our music. You didn't go with us. Or some have been swallowed up in it. And then when it didn't happen in that time, they've been terribly disappointed. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. And then Jesus explained it. He said, you come along and you say of John, that John is so-and-so and so-and-so, and the Son of Man comes along, and he comes to us, you won't believe either one of us. John came neither eating nor drinking, he came fasting. And you didn't believe him. The Son of Man came along, both eating and drinking, you say he's a glutton and a wine bibber. No matter who God says, people get lost in the commotion of the marketplace and the few times that God is calling us out for the immaturity and the confusion and the conflict of the marketplace. Only when we come out are we going to understand God's true measures of time, the appointed time. We go to the 20th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 20th chapter, and in the third verse. And he went out about the third hour and saw others sitting idle in the marketplace. Here are those who were supposed to be out in the vineyard working. Where were they? Idle, doing nothing, unprofitable in the marketplace. Voices calling in every direction. And they're sitting there
doing nothing.
And the vineyard where the wine is. The wine is in the bud. The new wine is yet in the bud. And they're far from it. They don't even know what's going on. The idle. This is the marketplace. Let me stop right here. There's a spirit of lethargy that would have been there this afternoon. I don't know if you noticed it or not. I don't know if it's lethargy or whatever it is. But I can feel it, and I feel like it's coming back and hitting me in the face. Nevertheless, all things are of God. Whose ye are and whom ye serve, and he will give liberty in the midst of it all. God taught us a few things in Utah, and nothing else. We've had quite some battles with spiritual forces. And God just taught us that we could sit right down in the midst of them and ignore them. You say, oh, you don't do that, you rebuke them. No, we don't. Can sit right down in the midst of them and know they can't touch it. We can recognize the force of them, and we recognize it even today. Sometimes when these things happen, it seems like what is being said just goes out and bounces on something and bounces back. Yes, I know there's something wrong. We're humming up here. Oh, is that what the trouble is? Get out of there. when he entered into the villages or cities or country, they made the sick in the streets notice the word streets as literally in the Greek agora, a marketplace. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. You say, what does this have to do with redeeming the time? This is a work of healing and a work of miracles. But you can forget God's timing completely in the miracle work. You say, are you against miracles? Are you against healing? No, I am not against them. But you can become so involved with this kind of a ministry that you forget what God is really doing. The past years we have seen much preaching and much healing and much prayer for the sick and the afflicted and many healings and many miracles. But this is not God's ultimate. God's true timing and what God is really doing has been going on undercover. God is using the healing ministry and the work of miracles to reach the hearts and lives of men, but he isn't using it for your benefit if you're really after God. Many of these things that are taking place are nothing but a camouflage for what God is really doing. Don't get caught in the camouflage. There were many being healed in the marketplace. But Jesus didn't come just to heal the sick. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. And he knew when his time came, and he wasn't healing anymore at that time either. He went to the cross to fulfill the promise of the Father. You that are sons of God in preparation, it isn't the healing ministry you need, it's the ministry of the healer in your life that dispels the darkness and ignorance and the things that are in you that ought not to be there. And that goes for me too. Then you go on into the seventh chapter. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, the agora, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples, according to the tradition of the elders, by eat bread with unwashed hands? The marketplace is a type of the tradition of men, the tradition of the elders, those that are supposed to be grown up, those that are supposed to be mature, those that are supposed to be leaders. The tradition, they've laid down the rules and the regulations. They've passed down the tradition, and we are doing it in so-called tradition ministry calls. The tradition is laid down, and it's functioning so. The process to buy up the due time, the appointed time, out of the marketplace, and get out of the marketplace with it. Don't get it involved with the tradition of men and the tradition of the elders. Get out of there, buy it up, and you will pay a price for it also. In Acts the 16th chapter and the 19th verse. And when her masters, now you remember the story, Paul had delivered the young woman from a spirit of divination. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. Will you notice that these people took Paul into the marketplace, because he had delivered a girl from the spirit of divination, and he hurt somebody's pocketbook. And because he did, they brought him into the place of judgment, and they beat the man because of this thing. I'm sorry to say, and I say it with shame, that much judgment is carried on according to the light of day in these days. And it's a pity and it's a crime that this thing be so. The churches and the groups have so brought their work under the monetary standard that they have literally fulfilled the scripture that gain is godly. And they vindicate their work by whether God has provided lavishly or not. They don't know what Paul meant when he said, I have learned to be upbeat, and I have learned to abound. I have learned to cover watch, and I have learned to have my watch divided. He knew what it was to suffer hunger. He knew what it was to have an abundant supply. But suffering hunger did not mean that he was out of the will of God. And because of the love of gain, the truth of God has been lost in the tradition and the love of God. The time may well come when we'll seek out the man that has to wear sackcloth, because he has nothing else, rather than the man that can stand with his wealth and faith, we are rich and increased with good matters and life. The truth of God will not make us popular. It never has, and it never will. And we're going to run aground all of the traditions of men when we begin to get the true light and the knowledge of God and walk upon. Surely, we are living in a time when God wants us to recognize the hour in which we live. Jesus said, your time is always for those people, but my time is not yet. God knew that his gift, he would find what he would want to bring to the time of the God, and not to the time of the book. This is what God is doing in our lives, that we will see. And I don't know what the main crisis will be. It could very well be national and international trouble. I don't know. But God's taking it through personal crises in this day and this hour that he might teach us that there is a time appointed of the Father. And when that time comes, heaven nor earth nor hell can stay his hand. It will be done. We do not know that time as long as we are still lost in the marketplace and the rubble of men. You say, how can I redeem the time? How can it come to pass? The very first scripture we read says, walk. See then that you walk circumspectly. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, you read the other scripture in the book of Colossians, and it also speaks about walking in wisdom. He didn't say walking in revelation. Let me repeat that. He did not say walking in revelation. He said walking in wisdom. and you cannot buy up the appointed time without walking in wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is an inner knowledge that perceives the true nature of people or circumstances or conditions. You can't explain wisdom. You can't learn wisdom. It's something that is born by the Spirit of God within you. You look beyond the surface, and you know the true nature of a person or a thing or a circumstance. Now, this is what God wants us to walk in. This is an hour when there is not a lot of revelation, as there has been in the past. He has given much revelation in the past. If it was a time of great revelation, he would tell us to walk in it, but he says, walk in the wisdom. He gives you the revelation. Then he puts you into the time places until you can learn to leave the revelation between you and God and walk in wisdom until the revelation is fulfilled. But if the vision tarries, wait for it. For it will come, and it will not be late. This is how you buy up the true time, the appointed time, the time that is appointed of the Father for the manifestation of the Son of God. And I might add, in connection with that, that there are people who are looking for the Son of God to be gloriously manifested so the whole earth knows that such and such and so and so and those people are the sons of God. Nonsense! The sons of God aren't looking for glory and fame of men. When the sons of God are made manifest, they will go quietly about the master's business as the Spirit of God commands them to go. And if you need help, the Son of God will come and minister to your needs and leave you may never know. As far as an earthly name is concerned, God's looking for vessels through the redemption of the body and the glorification thereof are two encouragements. We're looking for the redemption of the body now, and the creation is groaning for the manifestation of the Son. I, for one, am a great lover of animals, along with some others I know. And I long for the time when I can minister to God's poor, groaning creation, as well as to just the human beings, and release them from the bondages that they're in. How I'd love to walk into the experimental laboratory, throw open the cages of those animals, and take them to a place. And he tells you that somebody is going to pay for the cruelty of the dead. And we're going to see here. Well, we got off from one subject onto another, and yet it's all tied together. Walk in wisdom. Walk circumspectly, carefully, accurately. And then the next verse says, understanding, therefore, be not unwise. Don't be without a mind. The word unwise means don't be without a mind. He's not asking you to cut your head off and run around like a chicken with its head cut off. He says, be not unwise, or don't run around without a head or without a mind. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You say, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, I can tell you three scriptures that will solve the matter of the wisdom of the will of God. The first one is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Do you want to know what God's set times are? Then understand what His will is. You give thanks in everything, not after it's passed. But while you're still in it, you learn to give Him thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I'm sure that if we even fulfill this one, all the rest would take care of themselves. The first one. The second one is, back and quote it verbatim. Says something about the will of God, even your sanctification, which means your setting apart, your being separated unto God. You wonder if it's the will of the Lord for you to go to town today or tomorrow. God is interested in the sanctification that he's been working in you. I'm sure he doesn't care whether you go to town today or tomorrow. Oh, yes. We had a man at our place that said he wanted to know the will of God, whether he was to cut the back lawn or the front lawn first. And if any of you know Gail at all, she's very abrupt anyhow, says what she thinks, do it. You say, aren't there times when God does stop you from doing certain things? Of course he does. But if he wants you to stop, and you know you're to stop, or if he wants you to do something at that particular moment, instead of what you're doing, he'll put the prompting within you. You don't have to walk on eggs all the time to know what God wants you to do. When a man is on a horse, that horse goes straight ahead without asking questions until the rein is laid on his neck one way or the other. And God expects you to do the same thing always. The will of God is your sanctification, your being set apart unto him with the cutting off of the flesh and the self. This is what God is after. And the third scripture is, he is not willing, which has to do with his will. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all.
Hello, this is Gary.
And if it is his will,
hello,
that none should perish, but that all should come to repent, and his will should be done. This great truth of reconciliation concerning the will of God is that all men come to repent. And I do not believe you can know much about God's appointed time until you can take hold and embrace the truth of God's great love and compassion and salvation for every man. We had a young man at our place just before we made this trip. He had hitchhiked from Colorado to come over and spend a few days with us, because he and the rest of the family had been through quite an experience in North Carolina. And he felt that he needed some strengthening and some encouraging, and he had a lot of questions. And so he came over. And we talked to him, and you should talk to him, and you should have seen his eyes when we began to talk to him about God's plan of salvation. I've never heard such a thing. It's so great and so all-inclusive, and you couldn't hardly even comprehend that such a thing could be so. And yet it is. These three scriptures about the will of God, understanding what the will of the Lord is, understanding it, understanding that you are to get thanks in all things, understanding that sanctification is the will of God for you, and thirdly, that he is not willing that any should perish. These three scriptures are the will of God. And when we understand what the will of God is, we actually are buying up the appointed time out of the rubble of men's voices and traditions and the immature ones piping unto us and wanting us to dance under their feet. Now, why do we redeem the time? Because the days are evil. They're evil. And as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, so also shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We're in an evil hour. But the darkness is not overcoming us, as it does the children of darkness. But God is bringing us to the understanding that there is an appointed time, there is an appointed hour, and we only know it by redeeming the time, buying it out of the marketplace. And when you do, you're going to pay a price for it. It isn't the easiest price. I don't know what it'll be for you. I don't know what it'll be for me. We know what we've paid so far, but we've gone too far now to go back. We better pay the utmost farthing and be on our way and leave the marketplace where it is. The hours late, the time has come, and the clock that God is putting in your spirit and in my spirit is clicking off the seconds and the minutes and the hours. And every time it does, we pray that the Spirit of God will quicken it to your heart and to my heart, and that we'll walk in wisdom in this hour. Not in revelation, in wisdom. For wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. There comes a time when revelation will not be the stability, but wisdom and knowledge are the stability of thy times. Father, we pray that you will quicken to us that portion that is for us, that we might be strengthened and encouraged in God as never before. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a chorus, I wish I knew it, something about the conflict of the ages, taught by prophets and by sages, is upon us, is upon us. I can't even think what the first words are, can you? As your eye crossed the vision, as your heart felt the thrill. Well, I'm sure we'll remember it as we sing. Heart felt the thrill to the call of the master, and you answered, I will. That's what it is.
Thank you.
we might walk in that wisdom, knowing that the time is close at hand. Bless these people, fill them to the uttermost with the knowledge of your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.